Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bulls Scripted, and we are here to recap the Chicago Bulls' loss to the Phoenix Suns, 106-97.
We lost. I turned the game off after the third quarter.
Yeah, no, we lost. It was no. Everybody was talking shit on Twitter, like, "Oh, we're winning four in a row. This could be great." Damn it, crack them. Before we get into this episode, be sure you're going on ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Following my dude Goose at Bulls Scripted. Following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. Goose, we did not do the overtime victory against the Timberwolves because my kid needed me. So I just, you know, I couldn't make that one. But
speaking of which, before we get into it, all good. Is she feeling better?
She's good. All good in the hood. I think that's it's teething, man. So, You know, 6 months old, it's about that time. But, you know, our last episode that we did was with Joe Colley, which everybody that listened to that, anybody that had anything to do with that, thank you very much. It was one of my favorite podcasts that I think ever recorded. It was a great time with Joe. Got a lot of DMs about Joe being a different guy than I guess expected. You know, a lot of people had brought that up. You know, like, I didn't think he'd be like that. He was actually super fucking cool, and I think that it's really awesome that he lives his heel persona on Twitter. You know, just does his thing. But how are you doing, my man?
I mean, obviously, I'd be doing better if we didn't blow a 16-point lead.
Fair.
I mean, be a little better if Luke Kornet wasn't our best option at center. That would be nice too. These are all things that I dream of at moments like this, and maybe there will come a time where it's a reality. But right now, that kind of hurts. Zach LaVine's supposed to get his first 4-game win streak of his career. Off to a great start. The Suns did a great job of walling him off and blocking him off from getting to the rim. So there's a couple of possessions where I was like, what are you doing? Why aren't you driving to the rim? And then when he'd drive to the rim, you'd see, all right, DeAndre Ayton's there. They have a real center on the other team that you can't get through. So, no, this one hurts.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those growing pain games. It's one of those games that you're going to hear Billy in his end of game presser saying that we need to finish these if we want to be a good team. Like, that, you know, you cannot let these kind of wins slip away. Obviously, Phoenix is a very good team coming into this game at 20-11. They finished the night 21-11. I believe that's for third or fourth in the West. And, you know, we took it to them for a while. You know, we outscored them big time. We in the second quarter, outscored him by 12 points, 32-point second quarter for the Bulls, 20-point second quarter for Phoenix there. And then, you know, just the third and the fourth, we completely lost it. We're outscored big time. And, you know, it just kind of shows you how one-dimensional we can be if everything isn't clicking on all cylinders. And it kind of, you know, well, I guess one good takeaway from it was, you know, thank God Kobe's okay, but him and Zach were kind of both finding their strides on offense. Kobe, not so much from downtown, but he was getting his, he finishes with 19, 4-5 today. And thank God he's actually all right. I was terrified when he went down.
I felt that was the momentum swing of this game. It was a very close game at that point. Kobe goes down. You don't know what's going on with him. And obviously I don't know if Sato missed more than one shot tonight off the bench, but you know, Kobe goes down and you felt that momentum shift. It was like, oh, shit, is he okay? What's going on with that? And then when he came back into the game, he was completely out of a rhythm, and so was the entire team. It was not a fun fourth quarter. We played 2.5 quarters. We finished, you know, the first off after a horrible start. Ended up getting away with a tie there. Second, we dominated. Third, we played competitively, and fourth, we got our ass kicked by a team that has a veteran in Chris Paul and was clearly more prepared to take the leap that they kind of took at the end of their season into this season where they are top in the West. So I guess we could make this about cupcakes and rainbows and say, great, we competed with a good team, but we need to beat good teams if we want to be one, and I guess we're not there yet.
Well, there's still a lot of growing pains that are going to come with this. You know, it's just the worst part about it is obviously picking up the L sucks, but I hate those losses when you're beating a better team than you, and it's a blatant better team than us, and you let it slip away, and I can't harp on it too much, but I just wish, they had like a 14-point lead at one time tonight, and it just sucks that they lost that. I mean, the largest lead, I'm sorry, was 16. I apologize. It was 16-point lead that the Bulls had over the Suns at one point. We just blew it. Can't happen. It just can't happen when, like you said, when you want to beat good teams and be competitive. And I'm sorry, just looking at this team up and down from Phoenix, I mean, they're pretty talented and stuff like that, but it's not like their stars had a great game against us.
No, I mean, we did see some solid stretches of defense of Zach on Booker, but we also saw some pretty good defense from Booker on Zach that I wasn't expecting. At least the consistency of it throughout this game. But I don't know. The Suns are a lot deeper team. If you look at their roster on the wings, they're a lot deeper. If we had Otto, who I literally forget he's on the team until they asked Billy. Until they asked Billy about him before the game, I forget that he is on our team. And I forget that he takes up like over a fourth of our cap, which is crazy to think about. It's just out there floating around, sitting on the bench. You had him and Felicio together, and over a third of our cap, which luckily we get to spend it in the coming offseason, is just non-existent in contributing to winning basketball games. And I don't know. Thad can only do so much. Zach can only do so much. Needed more from the other starters tonight. Garrett Temple had a shit game as well. So, man, I mean, this one just sucks.
You know, dude, I almost tweeted out after P. Will had that beautiful slam there in the first quarter. I was like, oh, my God, this is the P. Will coming out game. I was like, this close. And then I got sidetracked and I didn't send it. And I'm like kind of glad I didn't now because he struggled a bit tonight offensively. 2-for-8, 0-for-3 from downtown, 4 points, 1 block, 2 assists, 7 rebounds.
I'm glad to see his rebounds are at least going up. And we said at the beginning of the season, we're not going to be critical of Pat. Like, he's the youngest kid in the freaking NBA.
I just so badly want that rookie breakout game.
And I don't know. I don't know if Billy draws enough up for him offensively. I don't know if Pat's confident enough in that outside shot, every minute of the game to pull off that crazy breakout game. We might have to wait till the sophomore season. I don't think Pat's the kind of player that you're going to have a sophomore slump out of. I think you're going to see progress in his second year instead of hitting that wall. But, yeah, 2-of-8 kind of leaves a lot on the table to be desired. What was Garrett Temple on the night?
Garrett Temple ended up 2-for-5, 1-for-3 from downtown. He had 5 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 turnovers, 3 fouls.
All right, so there you got 4-of-13. What was Wendell?
Wendell was 1-for-3. 5 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, 4 turnovers.
All right, 5-of-16. We're shooting under 33% from those three guys in the starting lineup. You gotta wonder, and it makes you wonder what the direction of the front office and Billy, because we heard him say in the pre or post game where he made the comment about talking to Arturis about trades in the upcoming weeks. They talk every day. That he knows what's going on. He knows what the game plan is. And you look at our starting lineup still, as competitive as we've been, is the plan really to make the playoffs? Are we building Thad's value to get him out of here while Lowry and Otto sit? And then you get a good haul for Thad, and then you bring Lowry and Otto back? And then, oh, shit, these guys are pretty good too. They can play basketball. It kind of makes you wonder – like, what is the true direction and desire of the coach and the front office? Because we know that they're coordinating. That's why Billy came here.
I'll say this, and it's exactly what I told you on C Red Fred's Knights of the Round Ball table that we were both a part of that just dropped. What was that, yesterday that dropped, or was it Wednesday? I think it dropped. But anyway, check out Fred's stuff. We were on there with Fred, and it was a really, really good time. And Paul Connor was also with us on that podcast. It was a really fun time. But I said it on there. I'll say it again. I like Thad Young. I think he's good for some of the younger guys that are on the squad. But for the people that are diehard, like, we cannot trade this guy. It's just another simple Chicago falling in love with a high-end role player type deal.
We've sucked for so long that 32 is the apple of our eye.
And I know this is this has nothing to do with this game. This is kind of like organic conversation that we're having right now. It has nothing to do with tonight's game. It's just,
stick to the game at hand.
No, we don't, especially when we lose. But we did talk about it real well. I mean, besides Zach, which who I was going to get into in a minute, and there was one more player I was going to get into as well. But, the whole Thad Young thing, man, it's just, he's a good player. But like you said, if someone's coming, Billy and Artoris are talking every day along with Mark Eversley. If a good offer comes around for that, he's goodbye. I'm sure that's going to happen, especially with a guy that helped build a team through sometimes in the middle of the draft,
So, no, and I know a lot of fans are down on Lowry, but how do we know the front office is? They might be high on Lowry. Moving Thad's $13, $14 million salary off the books for next year is your backup power forward. Might make it a little easier to pay Lowry for that, if you're compensated with a first-round pick and something else. So if I'm getting cap space, a first-round pick, a young prospect, and the ability to comfortably pay one of my other guys coming off a rookie contract, that could be rather appealing to me. So we shall see how this plays out, especially if the Bulls can only beat the shit teams in the league and we can't sneak out any W's against these better teams in the West.
I'm a Lowry fan. You know this. I'm a Lowry fan. I like Lowry. But if the front office told me right now that they take huge value in Lowry and they're going to move this guy and move mountains for him to pay him or whatever they have to
do. Why would that be moving a mountain, though? You just told me that moving Thad for nothing. That's just an extra cherry on top.
I didn't say nothing. I said a good offer. I didn't say nothing. All right, I said a good offer for him right now, because if he's that important to Zach, which is what everybody's telling me, and he has been playing very well, I would like to get some value back rather than just moving him, especially when he has another year left on his deal. So that's where I'm at with it. But Lowry, in my mind right now, and I love the kid, I just can't put any weight into any of his play on the court at all, because he can't stay on the court. I can't anymore. I give up on that. Like, you've been in the league for 4 years. You battled injuries consistently. It's not your fault. I'm not saying it's his fault. No one wants to be injured, and we know that. We know none of these players want to be injured. But I can't, man. I couldn't put
that's
any.
That's fine. We've got more than a whole second half of the season. This can, change in a second.
He comes out and starts dropping 30 a game, I'll shut my goddamn mouth.
I mean, he's averaging 20 points on 43%. 3-point when he is playing, or 39.7, so he was doing what we needed him to do this season. He's just not available.
It's just doesn't that frustrate you, though?
It frustrates the hell out of me, man. But he's what, 23? Like, that's what we got to realize here is, what better option do we realistically have for a 20-point-per-game, 40% 3-point shooter from the stretch five position? We're having Luke Kornet, who finally hit three threes tonight. He is 1 of 14, 1 of 16 going into tonight. You need something there. If you're going to trade that and open up that money to more comfortably play Lowry, which hopefully isn't as much because he is so damn fragile and injured, it seems like, I don't want to invest that. Then maybe you get away with paying Lowry what you're paying Thad in the offseason.
They couldn't come to a contract, agreement on what was rumored, 20, 21, was it?
He was not.
That's what Lowry 20. Wanted, because didn't the Bulls offer 16 to 18? Wasn't that correct?
No, they offered 12. They never came to a middle ground in the middle of.
The Bulls offered him $12 million a year.
I believe it was 12 to 14. I don't think they even offered
him. I think it was 16 to 18.
They did not know. 16 to 18 was the middle ground that we were hoping they would come to.
Oh, that's what we were talking about? Is that why I'm confused? Okay.
Yes. I don't believe they even offered him Bertans money in the offseason.
Bertans money. Jesus H. I have to look that shit up. Anyway, all right.
Bertans makes like $15 million a year for 5 years.
Right. So I did want to, you know how like when we get done recording the podcast, I get it all posted on Twitter, and I have like, you know, buzzing, bull scripted, or joined by this, or they recap this, and I have like all the little things under there. I was so badly wanting to put the Luke Kornet game in there, and it just didn't fucking happen for us. Because we were, like, talking shit about him. And then he comes out and he's just, I mean, he's just Ray Allen and that shit out there. Draining threes left and right.
All right, Steph Curry, let's calm down. Luke Kornet hype is about as crazy as taking a victory lap in the third quarter. I'm not going to get on the Luke Kornet train. I'm glad we saw Robert Horry Jr. for one night. I hope it's the only night that I have to see that come out of him. But Wendell, you know, he didn't have PJ Tucker or Daniel House on him tonight. So we got 2 points and no bueno.
No bueno.
No bueno, man. Like, every time we play a real center, Wendell either gets cooked or has a shit offensive night. And then I hear about how great he is on offense for a couple nights, and it's like, who did we play? Who did he go up against? Yeah, he's supposed to do that.
Well, at least he takes advantage when he has the opportunity.
Okay.
So, like, what? Why are you all mad, bro?
I guess I can't take it all out on Wendell. Half this roster needs to be flipped around and shuffled, and maybe we see some of that here shortly. I don't know.
Hey, we got a lot of cool stuff coming on, man. We got All-Star Week, you know, weekend coming up. We have the trade deadline coming up, and I'm just
say that All-Star word again. Just say that. That'll put a smile on my face. That's all that matters. Right,
Zach LaVine.
All-Star. Billy Donovan is our coach. Zach LaVine is an All-Star. Patrick Williams has two-way potential out the ass. Those are the only three things that truly matter to me right now. Everything else is just noise.
Which is fine. I mean, I didn't think the Bulls make playoffs anyway. I told you that in the beginning. I'm sticking to it. But they have been very fun to watch. And tonight was fun to watch until they blew it. And then, you know, I just – all the fandom gets into me, and I get depressed and sad, and I just can't stand it. But
yeah, I'm ready for a nap.
Yeah, no shit, me too. That's all I really got. It was kind of a, you know – I could read some team stats here just to fill you in on what happened tonight, just in case you guys missed it and you're joining us here live or you're listening to this podcast. The Bulls go 39 for 79 from the field. That's good enough for 49.4% from the field. Exactly 50% from the field for the Phoenix Suns. They go 44 for 88. Bulls, this is the stats that's going to upset everybody here. Bulls make 12 three-pointers out of 31 tonight. Good enough for 38.7%. Phoenix only makes 6 out of 22.
Now get to that turnover stat that's going to make me cry.
I'm coming. Free throws, 12-15 for the Suns, 7-10 for the Bulls. Not a lot of fouls tonight. Out-rebounded. The Bulls out-rebound Phoenix, 42-30 tonight. Bulls get killed in the assist department, 35 assists to the 25 assists, Phoenix to the Bulls. Total turnovers, 7 for 9 points. So 7 total turnovers for the Suns, and 9 points were created off of those turnovers. Bulls, 19 total turnovers tonight, 24 points off of those turnovers.
So you mean we lost the game in the turnover battle?
And in the paint. Phoenix, 66 points in the paint. Bulls, 44.
Where's my rim protector, man? Where is he at? Stop. Come on, man!
Everybody has an off day every once in a while, man.
Okay. Well, when you only play 60% of the basketball games presented to you, you can't have fucking off days very often, man.
It wasn't what I wanted it to be. And that was actually something I was talking to my old man about. He stopped by today. We had a beer together. So we're playing the Suns, and, you know, it's going to be, you know, DeAndre Ayton, you know, coming in town, you know, and he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I don't know, man. He goes, Ayton's kind of big for Wendell. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, Wendell's pretty decent defensively. Yeah, he goes, oh, yeah, I'm not taking anything away from him defensively, man, but he's going to get bullied. And I was just like, huh. My dad, who doesn't watch as much as we do, you know, anymore, but he was a Jordan era season ticket holder and all that stuff. He knew right away that Wendell was going to get bullied while I was sitting
there. He won't subject himself to this bullshit. He got to enjoy that. Why would he watch this?
Yeah, no, he really doesn't anymore. Honestly, he really doesn't. It's not his cup of tea. All right. Well, that's a recap of the Phoenix Suns victory over the Bulls. We will be back Sunday when the Bulls play the Toronto Raptors. But before we get into that game, everybody, I need to be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com and also going to manscaped.com. Yep, we're back on our Manscaped. It's our fourth one of the month. We got to make it happen. Go to manscaped.com. Browser, awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0. You can get the ball toner after you shave your boys, spray them off, make sure they feel all fresh and clean and whatnot. Get the ball deodorant, anything you need. If you actually get the Lawnmower 3.0 package, you get free boxers, a free t-shirt, free everything. Lawnmower 3.0 is included.
You get a shirt that lets everybody knows that your balls are clean?
You heard me right. Everybody will know. You will be walking down the street and, like, you know, maybe some dude and his girlfriend are walking by and you have your Manscaped shirt on and she, like, looks over at you and be like, oh, my God, his balls are clean. And right there and then, man, like, they know what you're all about. Clean balls. Clean balls. Good time. Where'd you go? Did you leave? Did you go use your Manscaped? What's happening here?
It hasn't came in the mail yet. I'm still waiting.
It's still upstairs. I apologize about that. But anyway, be sure, go to manscaped.com, use promo code ONTAP. Free shipping, 20% off all your manscaping needs. All right, moving in to the Bulls playing the Raptors. Ooh, Raptors are 500, 17-17 going up against the Bulls who are 15. It's what, they're 15-17 now, aren't they? Are they? Yeah, 15-17.
Yep, we would have been 500 tonight ourselves if we could have held on to that 16-point lead. So now we get to redeem ourselves against an Eastern Conference opponent who has had a little bit of an up-and-down season. The Raptors have been disappointing, at least to what we're used to the last few seasons, even without Kawhi last year. They're a lot more competitive than they've been, at least to this point of the year.
Yeah, yeah, it's been crazy. And also, just a couple rumors that I saw online is that, you know, the Clippers have been interested in a veteran point guard. Lowry's been kind of been floating around there. Obviously, he does have a past relationship with Kawhi Leonard when they played in Toronto for that 1 year. And per those articles, they grew to be really close, good buds that year. So, I mean, it's something that you could definitely see maybe happen, which would be good for us. Get a good point guard out of the East, send him over to the West, and keep on keeping on. But, yeah, I was surprised to see their struggles this year. And I've gotten to watch a pretty good amount of Toronto Raptors basketball, and it's just they don't have that second gear that they did in the previous years. They did beat the Rockets. Was that tonight? I think they beat the Rockets tonight. Vic Oladipo had a really good game, but Norman Powell actually led the way for the Raptors. So, I mean, did Lowry even play? Yeah, he did. I mean, Lowry's just been kind of – he had a triple-double. He had a fucking triple-double, 20, 10, and 11 for Kyle Lowry. They have such a good team when you look at them on paper. They're long. They're athletic. They're a good team. It's going to be a tough one for the Bulls.
No, it's definitely going to be a tough game. So if the Bulls can bounce back against the Raptors, we can go back to singing Kumbaya and talking about how awesome we are. Until then, let's lick our wounds and hope we get that redemption, because it could be a very interesting trade deadline if we're not close in the East. Because if you're not close in the East, you're not close to anything.
No, if you're not close in the East, you're bad, okay? It's very, very bad.
So I almost hope, for the sake of this roster, that we are more competitive, because I don't want to see a lot of these guys go. But it might be that time if that is the case.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I totally understand. I actually agree with you on this. Like, you know, if you're not – it's just so hard, man, because it's like their first year of evaluation. Like, it's just so tough. It's so tough. I do not – I don't envy them.
But the third year with the same roster, second year for some guys, but the time is ticking.
I get it. I definitely get it. You got anything else before we ride out here, man?
No, let's have some Raptor steaks for dinner.
Ooh, sounds good. And extinct. I dig it. Everybody be sure to go on OnTapSportsNet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap at OnTapSportsNet. Following Goose at Bull Scripted. Following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. Give us a 5-star rating and review because that's cool and tough. We'll be back Sunday night after the Bulls play the Toronto Raptors. Let's go Bulls.